Hey, it's Bob Fibbs, the Retail Doc. Thanks for joining me on my podcast, Tell Me Something Good About Retail, where I interview some of the best entrepreneurs and retailers and people who deal with retail in a new and exciting podcast format each week. So join me live here, or you can also find out more about me at retaildoc.com. That's RETAILDOC.com. Let's get going. Thanks for joining me this week, where I interview Rachel Doyle, CEO of Arboretum. She is the third ever Lifetime Achievement Award winner and first woman to win the Retail Excellence Award in Ireland. Today I am with
Rachel Doyle from Arboretum Garden Centres in Carlow and Kilquade in Wicklow in Ireland.
Tell me something about your business and how you got started.
Sure, I went back to college at 22 to study horticulture and then came and opened a garden centre 40 years ago.
And now, why did you go back to school to learn horticulture?
Because where I lived in a very remote part of County Carlow in Ireland, we didn't have career guidance. So left school, didn't really know what I was going to do, worked in an office, done a course, went teaching, and one of the teachers showed me an ad in the paper for a scholarship to study horticulture, and I thought, that's me.
I love that. So you had a passion for it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think if you have a passion and a dream, you can do anything you want and make it come true. I made my dreams come true.
Wow.
I love what I do. I'm absolutely passionate about plants. I actually do not consider I work. I think the team in Arboretum, we've over 100 people employed, and they all think I work really hard, but I don't.
But not for you.
No.
See, I think that's really great. That's why this podcast is called Tell Me Something Great About Retail, because I get to meet people like Rachel, who you're not telling me how horrible it is to be you. You're telling me how much you like being you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And you chose to be you.
Yes. And I suppose, you know, I think you can... I'm an eternal optimist. I mean, the glass is not half full, it's full all the time. And unless people die, anything else we can sort out in life. That's my philosophy.
I love that.
And I really do think that we can, you know, we need to get people in a really positive frame of mind. I think that, you know, you can go out and say it's raining, ice curtains raining, it's lovely. Let the rain on my face. I like it.
Why is that important though for you, for people to remain positive?
Because I surround myself with positive people. I don't want to do negative people.
But that's kind of what we're surrounded with, at least in the States, it seems like.
Well, no, but you know, you can try, and you know, and I believe, you know, I have in the staff room, in the Arboretum, we have smiley faces and saying, you know, if you see someone without a smile, give them one of yours, because you don't know what that person is coming in, what burdens they're bringing in. And by just being friendly and smiling and good morning to them and chatting, and I'm a chatterbox.
Could you tell that with her? No, not at all.
And it's a great feeling then, you know, and people, I often find that people share with me some very personal things, but that's fine. I actually done marriage counselling for years, so on a voluntary basis.
I think we're always are kind of this counsellor for the public in a lot of ways, aren't we?
Absolutely, and that's
because they're coming to you for hope, aren't they?
Like I'm
a gardener, like, tell me the deer won't eat this, please, right? Yeah, that's my thing. Or tell me that I can actually do this, and you're saying, well, yeah, we can do that.
Yeah. And you know, one tree can support a family of four, can convert enough carbon dioxide to oxygen to support a family of four. How good is that? Why don't we surround ourselves with trees and with plants?
Why don't we?
And with plants, and they're converting aloe vera, for example, a beautiful plant that's great for loads of things like psoriasis and skin diseases and so on. And, you know, makeup is made with an aloe vera. But that's a great plant to have in your bedroom to convert the carbon dioxide that you're breathing out to oxygen while you sleep.
Wow.
So you know, and again, plants in offices. But this is not a horticulture lesson.
But it could be.
Could be, yeah.
Because this is really hard for her, if you couldn't tell. She has to really think about what she's talking about, like, oh, this is, let me list this. It just comes naturally with you, which is what I think your whole demeanor from when I first met you is just this open, kind of way with the world. And I don't think, I don't think that's, we run into that enough. And I think that when I see it and you can feel it, I always want to know how you got there. I mean, were you always an optimist? Were you always looking at the positive? Did you see other people who weren't and said, not me? I mean...
I suppose I have always. I just don't think anything else except, you know, I went. I had a very poor education in the beginning, and I'm very much, I went back to college and I got first class honours, not because I was bright, but because I was doing something that I absolutely loved. Couldn't get enough information, and every day I get up, I'm learning, and I'm always reading stuff, and I'm always going on. Like yesterday, I felt your presentation was superb. All the presenters were excellent, and I just get energy from that, and I'm energized by that, and energized by meeting really fabulous, wonderful people in retail, and chatting to them.
And not going with any of the negs, because there's a lot of them out there, right?
Yeah, but don't do those. I don't want to sit down and have coffee with those.
Why not?
Because if you allow it, but we have the free will to stop it, but we can allow them bring us down with us. But that we mustn't do that. We must stay up on that positive
realm. So you have to be on guard for that?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I like that. And so you have this idea, you open a garden center, you've just got your degree, and now you have 100 people working for you. So how do you get there? Because you didn't wake up and say, I want to be a retailer with 100 employees, right?
Yeah, no, I didn't. I worked very hard. But I was chatting with you at breakfast this morning. I said to you, an opportunity has to be realized in the lifetime of the opportunity. And I so believe that. And I so believe that so many people are blind to that. That, you know... I'll give you a great example.
I was just going to ask you. Give me an example.
A motorway. We were on the main road between Dublin and two major cities in Ireland. And suddenly there was a motorway put in. And we were absolutely devastated.
Oh, my gosh.
We spent 2.2 million during the depths of the recession to revamp our garden centre in Carlow. And we put in a 340-seater restaurant that had been about less than 200. And I'm talking about in the middle of nowhere. I think it's the centre of the universe.
Of course you do.
But it's, and it is absolutely superb and very successful. We revamped.
But you could have pulled back at that time.
Yes.
And you could have said, be careful, be afraid.
Yeah. And everybody told me we were mad to even think of doing this. But I knew we weren't. I believed that this was the right decision. And it's a family business. My two sons and my husband, who is retired, we're all involved in it. And it's wonderful. But it was a big decision. But it was the right decision, and I never doubted, but it was the right decision.
And the opportunity in the time, in the lifetime, so that means like when you have that thought...
Yeah, you do.
You can't say, I'll get around to this someday.
No. But when, just after that happening, this is the opportunity came again. Just as we were finished having got the banks to give us the money, another garden centre came on for sale up in Dublin.
Okay.
South Dublin. And the owner had phoned me several times, and I used to say to him, I've enough problems, Niall.
Right. And don't want to double.
And suddenly my son rang me to say he was on the plane going to a wedding in Italy, and he rang and he said, Ma, Kilquaid is up for sale, it's on the paper. I got the keys to the car, drove to the shop, opened the paper when I got out back to the car, rang my husband and my other son and said, can you come with me to Kilquaid now?
Wow.
Because there's no tomorrow. We went, and I fell madly in love with it. So did my son, Barry. And Frank, even, who is sort of pulls us back a bit, he too did. So here was the opportunity. We've opened it, and that's 3 years ago, and it's fantastic.
Wow.
And it's in a superb setting, and it has 18 display gardens, 2 acres of display gardens.
Sounds beautiful.
Super.
I'd love to come see it.
I would love you to come see it.
What would be the best advice you ever got?
My father used to say, cut your cloth according to your measure. Now, I have stretched that a little bit from time to time.
I was going to say, I think it's my definition of my measure, right?
Yes, absolutely.
That's right.
That's it.
No one else's.
Yes. Yes, but at the back of my head, that advice from my dad sort of reminds me, you know, and I suppose, informed decisions.
I'm sure they're informed. I don't get anything about your capricious or you shoot first and then try to aim. I think you know a very clear idea of what success looks like. And what does an excellent garden center have to do in 2018, 2019 to be successful? You've been around for how many years with your...
40,
which is... Yeah. I know, she started as a child, folks.
Yeah.
But... You know, what does it take? Because there's an awful lot of, at least in the States, there's a lot of big boxes that have some kind of a garden center. Mm. There are plenty of small little garden centers that kind of eke out a little existence. But you have 100 people. You're a thriving outdoor landscape garden garden center. What does it take to do that?
Dare to be different and go outside of the boundaries.
What would an example? Obviously, she's shy and retiring from her beautiful pink fuchsia outfit she has on here today. But what does that mean?
We do, for example, on Saturdays there's a master class on something. We used to call it what did we call it? But people felt there were workshops, and people felt, oh God, maybe I might be asked to do something. So we renamed the master classes, and now we get them booked out. So one of our horticulturists will give a class on maybe garden design or how to decorate your front door, whatever. And when busloads come, we have a stage in the garden centre. So they'll just mic up and an impromptu talk on how to plant your hanging baskets or whatever is the right thing at the moment. So that's one thing. For example, when Christmas comes, we turn the whole place into Christmas. We spend about £30,000 on props that we rent from England to make a magical scenes. And they have to, of course, be different every year. And we'd have...
And then you're selling the trees and the ornaments to go with it.
Yeah.
But you're not closing down. You could have been a seasonal business, right? Yes. You could have just closed down like we're out.
What was the worst month of the year, December, is now our second best month.
Wow.
And that's how we turn that around. But we do loads of things, like we have authentic reindeer on site. We do breakfast and supper with Santa in the restaurant, and that's all that happens in the conservatory. Uh-huh. And Granny and Granddad comes, as well as Mommy and Daddy and the kids.
So it's a family tradition.
It's just a family, super family event. And we do loads of other things, like even we have Laura Lynn is a children's fund in Ireland, and we do loads of things around Laura Lynn. And the kids have to pay €3 for to post a letter to Santa, and Santa up in the office sends a letter in the post, and the child gets a letter from the postman.
Lovely. So,
and all that goes to the Laura Lynn Children's Fund.
And so you've got this whole community feeling that you're not just selling plants, you're doing something more than that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And that's important to us. And in both garden centres, we have display of gardens, which is free of charge. In Lochinbridge, we have an inspirational garden, which was designed over... I got the team together years ago, and what was a dump, we created a garden out of. And one of the team said that the first introduction to gardening was Jack and the Beanstalk. So that's the story we tell the kids.
Yes.
And we have the big pond at the bottom is the shape of a bean, and then the paths radiating out from that comes up to a U maze where the kids can run riot, and it's a win-win for us, for the parents. For us, the kids are not pulling labels off plants.
Exactly, right.
For the parents, because the kids are safe and they're running around mad, and for the kids, they have freedom. So it's but then the story we tell adults when we bring them through the gardens is the story of how colour affects your mood. Green is for growth, red is for vitality, orange for optimism, yellow for contentment. Oh, that's for outgoing.
Confidence. I love that idea that our first idea of planting is Jack and the Beanstalk. Because think of that. It's this wonderful idea that it grows up to the heavens. Of course, it has a downside, right? Because the giant cuts it down and the whole bad things happen as well. But just this idea that that story time brings you this sense of, wow, the magic of something gardening. You know, I did that, I'm sure a lot of school kids did too, but I, when I was in sixth grade, I took two little Dixie cups and I planted them with soil and a little, I think there were sunflower seeds, and I put one, this is a science experiment. So I put one in the sunny side of the room in our classroom, and we were telling it all good things. So we was, and then we did this other one that would, where we just yelled at it and said all these things. And of course, that one didn't go up, and this one came up. And I remember thinking, like, wow, I wonder if thoughts really could make a difference. And that's where I first started thinking, maybe they could. You know, maybe there is. Maybe we overwatered the one. I don't know that too. But that idea that maybe what we think about really does come true, because that's kind of what you're saying, that you haven't met an obstacle. You just kind of look at it in that lifetime and say, well, yeah, this feels right. You're confident, you know your facts, you know your product, and you know who you are. You're not looking, are you looking for a lot of other people to reinforce that? Or you're pretty centered to know that that's...
Well, my two sons, Fergal and Barry, would be very much part of all the decisions that are made in the
now, yes,
now,
yes.
Now, but before this, my husband was always very cool because he said, go, do it, you know. If you feel right about it, do it.
That's important.
And that was important, yeah. And that was important that he was always behind me.
Good. And now, what? So I want you to picture, so you have a good friend of yours, and she comes to you and she says, oh, let's meet for coffee. Mm. And you go, and she says, I've got this idea. I just want to get your feedback. I want to open a garden center. Mm. What would you tell her?
I would tell her all the pros and cons of it. And... Do you know the commitment that is necessary?
What's a commitment?
Well, the commitment of hard work and dedication and believing in yourself and not being pulled down by the people who will always see problems and obstacles. Obstacles are just things you can overcome.
Okay.
Unless somebody dies, anything else we can sort out.
I like that. I like that idea. Do you think that, what do you think the most worthwhile investment you ever did was?
Number one, we lived in a bungalow when we got married, and there was a beautiful old house close by, which came up for sale, and we bought it. And there was a 10-acre field beside it, uh-huh. which there was a gate into it. It was at one stage it was belonged to the house, and I believed in my heart that the field was going to be ours someday. And my husband went to the owner and said, "If ever you need money, would you give us first option on the field?" And we bought the field, and that's where the arboretum is now.
Oh my gosh! You just had that feel that would be
That was the right thing for us.
I love that.
Yeah. And we moved, we had a small garden centre in town, and it was only on a half acre site, and it was just, we could not expand. So Aldi and Lidl were coming to town, and the two of them were bidding for our site, which was great.
Oh.
Aldi gave us the most money, so.
Perfect. It all worked out.
All worked out.
Lovely. And so I don't think it happens very often, but times that you kind of lose your way or you're really frustrated, what do you do to get out of that?
I go for a swim at 7 in the morning, and that starts my day. I come out of that pool and I'm spiritually, physically and mentally ready to take on the world.
Okay, so activity really does it for you. And that's every day you do this or no?
Well, yes, at least four times a week.
4 times a week?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And if I had a difficult Sunday when it's crazy busy, I would go for a walk in the woods. I love walking in the woods. I love trees, and I love when the leaves are on the trees, just putting them in the palm of my hand, and I just feel energy.
She's just wonderful, and she's just great. I just love that. And name my podcast is "Tell Me Something Great About Retail." So, tell me something great about why. Why do you like working in retail? What is it about?
I love meeting people. I love interacting with people. I think that we have amazing people in retail in Ireland. Like Retail Excellence Ireland, which is the event that invited you over to speak at, they are an amazing organisation, and they just bring us all together, and we're all like one big happy family.
Yeah.
And some of the most amazing people that I know in my life are here today. and it's great. And there's huge cooperation, and I am on. I was on the International Garden Centre board for years, and I was president of the International Garden Centre Association 2014-2015, and that brought me around the world, and I've been to most countries in the world, and several times, and I love travelling, and I love meeting those people, and they are super friends.
Okay. And one last thing. So what would you consider is your definition of great customer service, whether it's what you want to feel as a customer, or how do you train your employees? I mean, there's efficient, right? There's, you know, I want this, go get that. But what does great customer service mean to you?
When somebody comes in and are greeted and made feel special, and that the whole experience with while they're in Arboretum has to be that from the beginning, middle and end. When you enter Arboretum, you enter true plants. I'm a horticulturist, I'm a mad plants person. You enter true plants and you exit true house plants, and that's by design, not by accident. Mm. Because despite the fact that you can buy a dress or a frying pan or pet stuff or furniture, whatever, the main thing is
the plants.
And I think plants make people happy. And that's why I suppose that I see people coming in, and they might, and we have very good displays, we have very good merchandising, and you see people coming in and say we have a cow and a calf and they change colour, and like we had strawberries on them at one stage when it was strawberry week, and like you see people coming in and they look and they see the cow and it's covered in strawberries and they smile, and you're getting the smile out of people that might not be in a great place at that time. And the gardens down at the back, my husband used to say to me, it's crazy because we have a gardener to keep them, mm-hmm. and we don't charge for getting them in. And I've said so many people have that I see who are undergoing chemotherapy, and they come and they sit down on a bench and read the book. And one lady mm-hmm. said to me that is her solace. You know, she comes there for peace and quiet, and she feels... and when you're entering that garden... there's a big sign that put up saying you're now entering a stress-free zone, and when you have planted that seed in somebody's mind, they actually have said to me, I love that, I feel that I'm in a stress-free zone, because we've told them they are.
Yeah. And then you've created this beautiful environment for it to happen.
Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. I really appreciate your time today here today, Rachel. And again, if you're in Ireland, where should they go and visit you?
Arboretum in Carlow and Arboretum in County Wicklow, South Dublin, 20 minutes from the biggest shopping centre in Dublin.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bob.
Bye. Well, that does it for this podcast. Please join me again next time when I interview LaDonna McCarron, co-owner of The Pantry, Nook and Cranny, and Rose and Alice Handcrafted Soap. Well, she'll talk about how Kismet allowed her to grasp opportunities and run with them. I'll look forward to seeing you next time. And that brings us to the end of another edition of Tell Me Something Good About Retail. I'm your host, Bob Phibbs, the Retail Doctor. Please share the love and tell your friends to subscribe as I engage retailers to share their tips for growing your retail business. Find out more about me at retaildoc.com. That's RETAILDOC.com. While you're there, you can find a transcript of this podcast. You can send an email to me at bob@retaildoc.com to tell me what you thought of this episode. And or you can leave a comment and share your experience right here as it relates to what we were talking about today. Again, I hope you'll tune in for another episode, and good selling.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.